chapter 9, 35 to 38. So just a short text, and I trust you'll enjoy this morning. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. Father, I pray that as we look at your word here today, I pray that you'd make it alive into our hearts, into our minds today, that, Lord, we'd see the truth of your word and that we'll receive your truth and be able to respond to your truth and that we may be encouraged in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want to share with you about getting involved in the harvest, which is getting involved in reaching out to our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a church, we've been trying to do that. We were trying to do actually a better job. We always have been doing that, but we're trying to do a better job reaching out to our world to fulfill the Great Commission, to go out into all the world and preach that gospel, make disciples, make followers of the way. Our mission statement is basically based on that Great Commission to reach, teach, and love people. And our vision statement is along the same thing, to be outward bound, existing to lead people and in the transforming love of Christ. And we take that seriously, and we've been really encouraging you, if you haven't noticed of late, to invite people to church and to share your story with others concerning your own faith in Jesus Christ. And we've had a number of seminars here at the church. There's also been a number of seminars that we've attended in other places as a staff. We have had a number of messages that have been given here about that as well. And we have Sundays that we really focus, that we want those Sundays to be all about that new individual, that new person, where they can feel comfortable and we can give them a message that they will understand and that they would feel welcomed. And just like this morning, we do pancakes. Just again, to make connection with people, provide an opportunity to invite others with us. And we are applying a lot of church growth ideas. And as a staff, we've been very busy implementing a lot of those things. And there have been a lot of seminars that we've attended. There's been a lot of books that we've read, a lot of training that we've received as well. And we've been praying. We've been seeking the Lord and asking God, God, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to apply these things of what is best for our church? Because just because you have new ideas out there, every new idea doesn't necessarily work in every church. And so you need wisdom, you need guidance that we might be directed the way God would want us to be directed. And we know that many of you have also been responding here as well. You've been sharing your faith. You've been inviting people. You've been giving. You've been volunteering. And you've been doing your part as well to help our church grow. And we're very blessed to see new people in our church. And if you happen to be a new person here this morning, we welcome you. It's a real pleasure to have you in this house. And I pray that something in this service would indeed encourage you and bless you, and we certainly invite you to come on back again. Love to have you. But we've also been experiencing some tough times and hardships, some tough decisions that have been made. Some people have moved on. A number of people moved to find jobs. Financially, we're still making it, but it's certainly been very close, and so we do thank you for your support during this time. And living in a declining economy is not fun. And that decline in our economy has not just affected people in Alberta, it's affected a lot of churches in Alberta. A lot of people don't realize the impact that our oil industry has, not just for Alberta, but for all of Canada and also for churches. Oil companies have been the best supporters of churches and missionary organizations. And so a lot of those people are hurting. I was talking to one of the heads of Missionaries of Europe, one of the executive members, and he was talking to me about how many missionaries are returning home and that there's a problem even in the Pentecostal assemblies of Canada that we have a number of missionaries returning home because they cannot raise support. And so that economy is really affecting our whole nation and affecting all our churches. And that's not a lot of fun when we have to go through those kinds of times. Some people might say, well, are we really doing enough? And I just finished another couple of books about church growth just last couple of weeks. And as I read those books, I look at it and say, you know what, we're doing a pretty good job, actually. And I know we can, you know, point our fingers and say, well, we should do better here, we should do better there. And sure, there's always areas where we can do better. But as a church, we're really doing quite good in comparison to what I'm reading. And as I read about the Western Church, it tells us that 85% of people in the Western Church will never invite anybody to church. Now, that's a pretty high number, 85%. And we wonder, well, why isn't the Western Church growing like the rest of the world? There's revival happening all around the world, and yet we're suffering here in places like England and Canada, United States. Canada has really been on a big decline as far as Christianity is concerned. And so why are those things happening? Well, the people that write about these things are telling us that 85% of the church won't do it. They won't even invite somebody to church. And so when I think of that in our church, I think pretty much most of us, if not all of us, have invited somebody to church. And so we're doing good in that area. Can we do better? Of course, we always can do better. But we're breaking the statistics. Another sad statistic of the Western Church is that 90% of people that do respond to an invitation to come to church will only come once, and they'll never come back again. And that's a pretty tough one, where you get up the nerve to invite somebody, and they do come, but they only come once, and they don't come back again. Because in the Western world, church really isn't all that important. Now, for those who are seniors here, you'll remember the culture in Canada when you grew up. And the culture in Canada, when our seniors were growing up, was that everybody went to church. It was just expected. It was what society did. It was what culture did. Matter of fact, the value system back then was very strong Christian, even though people that didn't go to church still had very strong values. But from there, that gradually changed to where the family unit would go to church, and it was important to go to church. It gradually changed that, you know what, as adults, you know, we did go to church, so it's only important for our kids. And so we would send our kids, and we saw that for many years. Some of you might remember back to the bus ministries that used to happen, where we used to go out and have all these buses and going out and grabbing kids and bringing them in. I think in St. John and Judy's church, was it like 25, 30 buses, something like that, that they used to have to bring in kids, and they'd have like over 1,000 kids would come in during that kind of a culture where we wanted to send our kids to church, but as parents, we stayed home. And now we have a culture in Canada, in our Western world, where we all stay home, and that people don't value church, and they don't go to church, and even Christians don't even value church. And so we can see that there's a huge need for a move of God in the Western world. The gospel is spreading like crazy everywhere else, but in the Western world, it really isn't. Now, there is some places where things are going good. There are some hot spots, and we certainly want to see more of those hot spots where we start seeing people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the Western church is in big trouble. It is in decline. And they tell us that the growth that we see in the churches is really attributed to more of transfer growth than actually reaching new people. And basically what is transfer growth? It just means that one gets tired of going to one church, so then they move over and start attending another church. And so census kind of displays that out for us as well, that even the Canadian census, when you read it, you'll find that still around the same number of people consider themselves as Christians. So when you kind of read all that stuff and you think about all those things, it's not a really good picture of where the church stands today in our Western culture. And it might even get you to the place to say, well, what's the point, Pastor? Like, really, seriously? Like, we're going to work hard to invite people to church. We're going to work hard to share our faith. And you're telling me that 90% that do respond, even of that group, that's it? That they'll say no? So only 10% of the people who will say yes and actually come to church will actually return to church? That's a pretty small percentage. And we might be convinced to say, why bother? We just need to move and we'll just wait on God and eventually God will move. Well, giving up is not an option for any church. And no matter what the church experts say or today's culture says there or what hardships we're experiencing or what our economy may bring, giving up is not an option. And so before we discourage ourselves too much, we need to remember the truth that the church of Jesus Christ will prevail. The Bible tells us that. So no matter what the church goes through, whether, you know, it's Western culture or another culture somewhere else, the Bible reminds us that the church shall prevail. It will prevail. And I want to encourage you this morning that even though I kind of gave you some statistics that aren't maybe the greatest statistics to hear, but that the Bible tells us there is a harvest. And I want you to realize that there is a harvest in this community, in this region, in this area, and in this nation that God is desiring to reach. And so I want to encourage you in that to help realize that just by looking at this passage that we've read here in Matthew chapter 9, 37 to 38, as it talks about the harvest and what Jesus has to say about the harvest. There's a lot of people out there today that are talking about the harvest. There's a lot of people talking about, you know, how to make church better and all those kinds of things. And that's all good. It's wonderful. But Jesus has something to say. And if we're followers of Jesus, then we really need to be listening to what Jesus has to say about the church and about the harvest. And one of the first things that we need to understand about the harvest, that gathering of people coming to faith in Christ, is that Jesus says the harvest is great. It's great. Matthew 9, 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest is great. So Jesus is telling us that despite what people say, despite what the experts may say about church growth and about the harvest, despite how bad it is in the Western churches, despite the vast numbers of people who are not responding to the gospel, he's telling us that if we are faithful, if we get that message out, the harvest is great. So if we will continue to be faithful, we will continue to reach and teach and love on people, there is going to be a response. It will not happen as quick as we want. I wish it really would. It may not happen the way we want. But Jesus promises there will be a bigger response than what we are seeing or what we are expecting. Something big is coming in regards to a harvest. The Bible says the harvest is great. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is big. And so Jesus is telling us that there are people, in fact, there's a great number of people who are open and ready to receive the gospel. And we need to remember, God desires all people to be saved and come to the truth. That's God's desire. God is working on our world. God is working on those who do not know him. He is working on their heart and speaking to them to prepare them to be, get them ready to respond to an invitation that you or I may give. And so we need to remember, God is working on this. God is working this. We just need to come in alignment with him to start reaching those people that he's preparing. And I really do see in our world today, in our culture today, even though we see these downturns as far as the church is concerned, at the same time, I see that there's a lot of people out there that are willing to talk about faith. And that if we would take the time and spend with some people and share our faith and share our stories, I believe there's a huge harvest that will come. So listen to what Jesus has said, what that talks about this harvest and what God's desire is. 1 Timothy 2, 4 to 5. He's saying, he is the one who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there's only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. And he's working on our behalf and working, of course, on his own behalf, that people would come to the knowledge of truth. And he says, the harvest is big. There's a big harvest out there. That even though right now in Canada, maybe we're not seeing that large harvest of people coming to Christ, Jesus is telling us, look, the fields are ripe for harvest. There's people all around you that still need Christ. And it's going to take place. There's a great harvest. I know the statistics are against us. I know more people reject the gospel than accept the gospel. I know more people will not return to church after first visit. I know that people are moving out of Alberta in droves. But Jesus is telling us, don't allow those things to sway you from continuing to share the gospel, because he says the harvest is still great. There is still a large group of people that need to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And we're not to give up. And I know I get frustrated myself at times and, you know, and trying to reach people. But if we'll just keep trying, if we'll just keep doing what we know is right, there will be a harvest. Because he's telling us that harvest is big. He tells us in Galatians 6:9, he said, don't get tired of doing what is good. We get that way. We get tired of doing good. But he tells us at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And that's the key. At the right time, his time, not your time, not my time, but his time, there is a harvest. And I believe that Jesus wants us to know today that the harvest in this area of the Lakeland is still great. There are still many people in this area that are ready to respond and come to faith in Christ. So he's asking us, let's continue to be faithful with sharing the gospel and inviting people, because there's a great harvest that's still yet to come. And I'm believing God for that. Then secondly, concerning the harvest, where people respond to that gospel of Christ, we need to understand that the workers are few. Jesus tells us that, Matthew 9:37, said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. The problem of getting the harvest in is not because there's not a lot of people that don't know Jesus. The problem is there's not a lot of Christians that are reaching out to their world to tell them the story, to bring them to that knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in our society here in Canada, we often battle with our busyness. We battle with people saying no to us. We battle with rejection to us. We battle with those statistics where you're saying, well, no one else in the church is doing it, so why should I do it? Or then we get discouraged because we've invited people and they haven't stayed, or they came to church for a while and then walked away. And we might get to that place where we say, what's the use? Why bother? The results are just too small. Well, we don't want to go in that direction. Because, you know, the Bible does tell us, you know, it does tell us that there will be many that will reject the gospel. The Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us that many will choose the road that is wide that leads to destruction. The Bible tells us that only a few will choose that road to life everlasting. So we really shouldn't be surprised if we don't see these masses of people coming to Christ or receiving Christ, because the Bible tells us in advance that most will choose not to. However, that still shouldn't cause us to give up. I think it should cause us to work even harder, that there will be many in this area that will come to Christ, that there will be many in this area that will respond to the gospel. I think of the parable of the seeds, and it talks about there of a farmer, and he's sowing seed, and it tells that some of that seed, well, it just falls on the hard ground or the paths, and nothing happens to it. Just birds come and take it and eat it. Other seed, it falls on shallow soil, and so it grows a little, but, you know, as soon as it starts to grow, it withers away because there's no roots, there's not enough soil. And then other seed falls amongst the weeds, and it tells us that, well, the weeds come and they choke out that growth, and so again, nothing happens there as well. So you read that story of the parable, where it's already telling us that 75% don't get anywheres with the gospel. It's only the last group, the last 25%, where it says that they threw some seed on good soil, and then it produced a crop 30, 60, and even 100-fold. And you know, that applies to us as we share our faith, as we become involved in the harvest. We will see the majority of our efforts actually fail. But our focus doesn't need to be there. We need to focus on what we are to do. We're to focus that we're to share. We're to focus that we're to invite people. We're to focus on telling our story about Christ, because even though the majority may not respond, when people do respond, it says it can result in a 30, 60, or 100-fold response. That means as we work hard, and maybe we'll get 100 no's, but we might get one of that 100 that'll say yes. And that person will be an evangelist. And they're going to touch not just 100 people, they're going to touch thousands of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You find that story in Matthew 13:8. It says, still other seed fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much has been planted. So anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So even though we've heard maybe a lot of response where someone told you no, I really believe that we're in a season where people are going to start saying yes. I really do. I believe that we're in a season that, despite the statistics that's out there, I believe that we're in for a harvest that's a 100-fold harvest. Not a 30, not a 60, but a 100-fold. And I realize that, yes, workers can be few. And in most churches, that is true. They tell us that 10% of the church does all the work. And I can tell you in this church, that's not the way. We do need some more workers, but there's a lot of you here that are helping, that are stepping out. You're doing things to help this church go forward. And we're a statistic breaker here, whether you realize it or not. We really are. Workers can be few, but we need to commit ourselves. Keep working. See, success is about inviting and sharing the gospel. It's not about the response. And so often we determine our success by our response, when God's determined our success, are we willing to do what he called us to do? Our job is to go out and tell. Our job is to go out there and share. Our job is to go out there and invite. The responses are really up to him. And so we got a job to do. And I'm believing God for 100-fold. That's what I really am believing. But we need to be willing to be a worker. We need to be a person to say, here am I, Lord. Send me. I'm willing. Lord, I don't want to hear these statistics about our nation anymore. I don't want to hear these statistics of what they're telling us about the Western church anymore. I want to be one of those people that's going to be a world changer. I want to be a world changer for this nation of Canada to start seeing the gospel prosper like never before in this nation. Then thirdly, concerning the harvest, we need to pray. We need to be praying that people will respond to the gospel and come to faith and Jesus Christ. Matthew 9, 37, 38. Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray. Pray. It's another important criteria for harvest that many neglect, and especially in our Western churches. As you read the many experts of church growth from Western churches, they are going to list you many great ideas, but sadly, almost all of them will not have prayer listed as a vital practice to experience growth and harvest. And yet Jesus tells us very clearly that if you want growth in the church, if you want to see a great harvest, then you need to spend time and prayer, praying for people to respond to the gospel. And sadly, in our culture, we excuse ourselves from this practice of prayer. The Western church does not like to pray. Just have a prayer meeting. Instantly, you'll find that to be true. Only a few show up for a prayer meeting. Why? Well, the statistics and the people that do all these studies say that we're too busy. We're too occupied with living our lives. We're too busy, occupied, enjoying the pleasures of life. And we give up on prayer way too quickly. And yet, as you look at the growing church in the rest of the world, and you talk to them that are actually experiencing growth, and you ask, well, what is one of the keys for your growth? And they'll come back to you and say, prayer is. Prayer is. We need to be praying for the harvest. Friends, we're only deceiving ourselves if we think that all of our wonderful ideas, which are good ideas, are going to grow the church if we don't support those ideas with prayer. We need to be praying. They need to go together. You can't just have one or the other. They go together. You can't just pray and do nothing else. They all go together. You need to include them both. And even though it's a weakness in our Western church, what I'm happy to report to you is that more and more leaders are recognizing this need to be praying for our nation, and they are. More and more prayer gatherings are happening across our nation, and we're seeing more and more people in our churches getting a burden to pray again. And even here in this church, there are people here that have committed and stuck with that commitment to pray, and we're so very, very thankful that there's been a burden released in even in this church, where there have been people coming and praying, not just at home, but they'll come to the church and they'll spend hours here praying in the church. That's a wonderful thing. They're responding to a burden that God is calling out. So I think we all need to raise this level of prayer. If we want to see a great harvest, yes, we're going to continue trying, you know, the ideas that are out there. Of course we will. But we want to make sure that we season those things with prayer. We still need to pray. The early church in the book of Acts, it shows us this truth and this practice. Tells us before the day of Pentecost happened, what was the church doing? They gathered together and they were praying. They were seeking the Lord. And the result of that was not just a baptism of the Holy Spirit, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people came to Christ. And what did the church do immediately after? They went back and they began to pray. And they saw people come to the church on a daily basis. Acts 2:42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And if we want to see a harvest, we need to pray. We need to call on God. We need to be praying for the people that we're talking about. You know, sometimes we go out there and we share our faith, but we don't pray before we go. We're not praying that God, as I go out today, would you direct me? Would you lead me? That needs to be a daily prayer when we go out there every day. God, direct me to somebody today that I might be able to share something of faith to somebody else. If we want harvest, we need to pray. Then fourthly, concerning the harvest, we need to recognize the Lord of the harvest. Jesus is Lord of the harvest. He is in control. He is the master of the harvest. And that's why we need to be looking to him, because he's in control. He's in charge. He's the master. He's the Lord of the harvest. And so you're not going to have harvest without working with the Lord of the harvest, the God of harvest. Matthew 9:37-38 again. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. There's somebody in charge of the harvest. I think we forget about that sometimes. God's in charge of the harvest. We're not. You and I are not in charge of that harvest. We're in charge to go out. We're in charge to go out and preach the gospel. We're in charge to go out and share the gospel. We're to go out and give opportunity for people to come to faith. But he's in charge of that harvest. And we need to realize that. He's the one that we need to be looking to. And we see that in the whole Godhead, in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, how they draw people to themselves. It's God that draws. It's God that quickens people in their hearts to respond. It's God that uses us and the words that we say and the giftings that we have to bring people to Him. John 6:44, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. There's a drawing. That's God's job. Our job is to speak. His job is then to draw them, to speak to them. John 12:32, and when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself, Jesus says. So let's not deceive ourselves that we can do all these wonderful things out there and yet not have God in our lives. He's the God of the harvest. We need to be seeking Him as we go out there. You know, today we live in a society where we think we got it all together. We think we know how to do church. As a matter of fact, they tell us today that we're so good at doing church, God's not even in part of our churches. He's outside. The book of Revelations, if you read those first three chapters, you'll see that Jesus has a message to the church. And one of those passages in, I believe it's Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we often apply that scripture to us personally, where God is knocking at the door of our hearts that we might receive Him. But actually, the context there is that He's knocking at the door of the church. He's at the church when there's a service going on, and He's knocking and saying, I want to be part of your service. But we've gotten so good in our services that our time restraints in some places are so tight. When's God supposed to come into the service? There's no opportunity. We need to be careful of that. We value giving time for God to move in our church. We purposely try to make time that, Lord, yes, we pray into what songs we're going to play. We pray into what message we're going to give. But as we do all that, we're also at the place to say, God, if there's something else that you want to do, this is your church. You're welcome to move freely in this place. And we want that. We want that. You know, sometimes we're so busy listening to what everyone else has to say, we miss what God has to say. And friends, when it comes to the harvest, we need to be listening to what God has to say. We really do. Seek the Lord of the harvest. Submit to Him. We owe our allegiance to Him. He's Lord. And He needs to be Lord of the harvest as well. So if we want harvest, then we need to be looking and seeking the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. We need to be working with Him and what He's saying. It's interesting that in the message of Revelations, as Jesus speaks to the churches, He tells them something after each one. And he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I really think as Christians, we need to get back to be hearing and listening to what the Spirit is saying. Not what everybody else is saying, but what's the Spirit of God saying? What's He saying to you? What's He saying to this local church? Because He's the Lord of the harvest. And then lastly, concerning this harvest, Jesus tells us to ask Him for more workers. To ask for more workers who will acknowledge God as the Lord of the harvest, that will submit to Him, that will work with Him. Because God's not going to do everything for us. Yes, He's going to be moving upon the world and moving upon the nations. He does that all the time. But there's a role that you and I have as well. And we need to be involved in that harvest, seeking Him. And even seeking Him about the need for more workers. Again, those verses, 37, 38. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into His fields. There's always a need for more workers. And we need to be asking for more workers. Every church and every pastor has weaknesses. And so we need to be praying that God would bring us the right people to fill those gaps in our churches, to fill those gaps in our ministries, that our churches can be complete and have a powerful ministry that reaches out to our world. So we need to be asking God for the, God, send the right people our way. Send, Lord, jobs this way in this area, that people will move into this area that will help us in the kingdom. And again, this is about His work, not our work. So often we can have our own agendas and just think, well, God's going to bless my agenda. No, that's not how it works. God has his agenda, and we need to come in alignment with what his agenda is and not ours. And his agenda is pray for workers. Ask for workers. It's very important that we ask, that we pray and do what God is doing, and then ask him, send the right people in our midst, that we might get the job done right here in this community, in this area. And then widen that asking. You know, maybe there's workers that need to come from other countries to help us. And we have been blessed in this church. We've had many people that have come from other countries of the world, and they've come here to our community. And I want to tell you, if you're from another country other than Canada, welcome. Welcome. And I want to tell you something. You're needed right here in this church. And we welcome you in this church. I know often the temptation can be that let's just go start some other church with just our own culture because it's easier. No, we need you to help us in this Western world to be the church that God has really called us to be. I believe that God is sending in lots of immigrants into Canada to help us as Canadians to get on board with what God is doing in the world, to get, you know, doing more than what's just happening in the Western church. And so if you're from the Philippines or you're from Africa or you're from India or for whatever country you may be from, you are welcome here. And I want to tell you something, we need you. We really do. We need you. We need the various cultures that are in our nation. A lot of First Nations people right across the land. We need you. We need your help that the gospel might touch this nation of Canada. Who better to help touch us than the First Nations? We need you. You're welcome here. We need you to be a part of us. We need the people from the different provinces of Canada, right across Canada, that, again, we might be effective to minister to one another. We come with all kinds of different backgrounds in this place. That's what we are as a nation anymore. We're multicultural. There are many cultures, and we need everyone to come together, work together, that the kingdom of God would go forward. So we need to be asking. God, move upon people. Start praying. God, I pray that, Lord, there'll be people from across Canada that start moving here. And you might say, well, that's not going to happen now, Pastor. The oil industry's gone down the tubes and no one's going to come because there's no jobs. God can still bring people. God can still bring people. Start praying. People out of the States. God, bring some people out of the States that are going to come here and they're going to help us with the work of God. Let's start praying in India that, Lord, you're going to bring some people from India that are going to help us to increase the gospel. Let us be praying that, Lord, as our First Nation people, Lord, that you start doing a work amongst them and you would bring them into this house that we might do a greater work amongst the nations in our own nation. Let us be praying from all over the world. God, bring people in. Bring people in that are going to help us to get in the harvest, because God is interested in the harvest. God says the harvest is great. It's great. It's big. We just need some more workers. And I believe that God is speaking in this area, and he is causing people to move. There's some people here today that you just moved into this community. Don't think that you're just here by accident. There's a reason why you're here. So he asks us, pray. Ask me to send more workers into the harvest field. So we want to do that. So this morning as we close, I hope this has made that picture of the harvest a little bit clearer for you. And of some things that we can do according to the Word of God that we might see that harvest come to pass. I still believe that God has greater things for this church, for this area, for this nation. And things right now, they may not look so good on the outside. But God's not finished with Canada. God's not finished with Alberta. God is not finished with this Lakeland region. There is a greater harvest that is greater than what we've experienced so far. And I believe there's a hundredfold harvest that is coming. And the Lord of the harvest will bring it in, but he's looking to use you and I to help bring that in. Yes, the enemy has been fighting against the church. But I love Matthew 16:18, where Jesus says, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. The gates of hell will not prevail, my friends. The church is not going to die. The church is going to grow. And even in Canada, the church is going to grow. There is a harvest for Canada. Friends, there's been lots of other people speaking that, but I believe that in my own heart, that there's a great harvest. I believe there's a great harvest in this region as well, in this Lakeland region. We're believing God for it. We're praying for that. We're asking God, help us to be a church that will be active in the harvest of people that will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.